You always do this. I can't believe you did this again. Do these questions sound familiar? On this episode, we're going to look at family fights.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey everyone, welcome to Inverse. We're going to change it up a bit. I'm going to ask you guys straight off the bat. We've been looking at a lot of topics this season, right from your memories, and I know you're unprepared for this. What do you remember from this season? What topics we talked about on families? What do we talk about families on? Yeah.
Like parenting?
Parenting, yes.
Mm. I mean, we talked about singleness.
Singleness, yeah. You like the one on singleness.
Preparation for marriage, marriage. We talked about sexuality.
Abrasion of marriage?
No, preparation.
Preparation, okay. I forgot I didn't hear the pre. Yeah. That's very important. Yes. Anything else we remember from this?
That Jesus is still the answer.
Jesus is still the answer.
That's right.
Jesus knows, yes.
Yeah.
Jesus, anything else? All right. Well, that's a cue. We need to have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the topic of family fights. So this is a kind of a sensitive topic, yeah?
Absolutely.
And we want to just let you guys know out there that we are not from perfect families.
Nope.
We don't have perfect families, and we are probably guilty of a lot of the things that all human beings are guilty of. And we are in this quest to find together what the Bible has to say and how our families can benefit from the Lord's blessing. So, prayer. Kelly.
Yes.
Justin. Let's do it.
All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love, and thank you that you desire to enter into even the less beautiful aspects of our experience. And I pray that as we discuss, that you'd guide us by your Holy Spirit, and you lead us to practical and Christ-centered truths.
Amen.
We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Starting verse is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. And Siku, can you read that for us? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26.
It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath."
Read verse 27 as well.
Okay. "No, give place to the devil."
Mm. Yeah. it's a
very
good Paul.
Phrase to put in there.
Jonathan,
yes.
What's going on? And set us up for our discussion on fights and families and
the pressure.
This week it's called Little Times of Trouble. Not the big time of trouble, mm-hmm. Little times of trouble.
Well, here in Ephesians, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. These two verses we just read are embedded in an admonition of Paul to not live like you used to live. Okay, mm-hmm. Now it's time to follow the Spirit's leading in your life. Mm-hmm. You were created for righteousness, holiness. Therefore, put away lying in verse 25, and then in verse 26 mm-hmm. he goes into, "Be angry and do not sin," which is actually a quote from the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
Where Psalm 4, verse 4 says the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So when we talk about anger, that is something that I believe all of us have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible acknowledges that reality, that there are moments when we get angry. Why do we get angry?
Mm-hmm.
Something is upsetting us. Something is interfering with our values, our perception of things. And so it upsets us. But it says here, "Do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't give a place to the devil." So there seems to be two kinds of
anger?
Ways of dealing with anger. Or yeah. you have anger, but then there seems to be like, hey, you know, anger is natural. It is a reaction to something that disturbs you. But don't let it continue till the sun sets.
Let's spend some time talking about anger.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong to be angry to begin with?
No. It's not wrong to be angry.
Okay.
Like you're talking about, anger is an emotional reaction to, and it's usually your perception of what is just or
mm-hmm.
unjust.
Okay.
And so it comes from your framework, your morality, and so it's a visceral reaction to what you perceive to not be going the right way. And
right.
that actually is a good thing. Because if nothing angers you, then you have no standards.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that could ever go wrong, you know. But when
if you don't get angry, then there's no standards.
That is
profound
mm-hmm.
because God gets angry
mm-hmm.
and
sure
not
does.
and we got to be very careful. We
right.
can't attribute human anger experiences to God, but there is a visceral reaction to these things.
And it shows that it can lead to a decision. So be angry, okay, and do not sin. So that means mm-hmm. you have a choice on whether or not your anger leads to sin or not.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we feel like it's, well, if I'm angry, then it's just a matter of time, then I sin. Or just when I'm angry, I have to express it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says it's not true. You can be angry.
What is the difference between righteous indignation? That's a term that many people
righteous
throw
anger.
Around. What is righteous right. indignation? Righteous anger? Mm-hmm. Is it indigestion? Like what is that?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to what Ezekiel was saying. It's anger is I missed what happened there.
He said indigestion.
All right.
Talking about righteous indignation.
You get angry when you have indigestion.
I mean, that kind of does make me angry.
Okay. Well, okay. Back to the topic. So as we anger. Comes with comparison to a set of values.
Yeah.
So righteous anger, so depends on what do you define as righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
Is it my personal standards or is it, the immovable standards that God has?
Mm-hmm.
So anything that interferes or anything that, so to say, upsets God's standards mm-hmm. is righteous anger.
Mm-hmm. I even think about things that made Jesus angry and things that didn't make Jesus angry.
Okay.
Right? So I think of the time where people were saying, like, well, you're an illegitimate child. And, we know who our father is. Who's your father? Mm. And Jesus, no reaction. Doesn't get under skin.
Yeah.
Versus other people.
It was a personal attack and he didn't.
Yeah, just like,
whatever.
And I don't have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, when he sees people defiling the temple of God, that gets Jesus angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, man, so it's not just, oh, if I'm personally attacked. And because Jesus was personally attacked and they had no right to say that. It was disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't enough to bring out righteous indignation mm-hmm. because that wasn't his focus.
So could we modify that verse 26, be angry, but you can only be angry when it's for other things and not for yourself?
Mm. Well, I don't know if everyone agrees with this, but I think emotions in and of themselves are amoral.
Okay.
Like, I don't think they have moral attributes.
Yes.
So you can be angry, and that doesn't mean you're good or bad. It just means you're experiencing emotion.
Yes.
But then what you do based on that, that's when it starts becoming a moral situation.
Okay. And that's probably when it mentions, and sin
and,
not.
And just don't give room for the devil.
What is an example where you do get angry and a sin results as a result and giving place? What is that?
Well, I can give examples from my childhood.
Okay. Confession time here.
I love my brother Ben. I love him very much, and we're very good friends now. But back in the day, we were not. I mean, the smallest thing, like I'm writing with a pencil, and he's like, "I want your pencil," and he takes my pencil, and I now want to end his life. That's not moral.
Wow.
That's not good.
End his life.
I mean, the new side of you.
I was a very violent child.
My pen.
My pen. But it was just because my brother took it, and I was mad at my brother.
Yeah.
So, but the point is, like, he just took my pen or pencil. So I can be angry, like, I don't like that, but I could be like, hey, that wasn't nice. Can you please give it back?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good response. Or, like, I'm going to take all your stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sinning, giving room mm-hmm. to the devil part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I think what you're saying about the feeling, the emotion itself, is not necessarily the wrong part.
Mm-hmm.
But not just how you deal with it, but even how you reflect on it.
Mm.
So
yeah,
realizing that, why am I angry about this? Mm-hmm. Am I angry because I was just personally attacked and it's my pride that's mm-hmm. been hurt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or is there a good reason for me to be angry about this? Can something good come out of this on top of it? Like, can I actually help the other person? Because sometimes, mm-hmm. yes, it's my pride that was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can go to Jesus and surrender that to him and then come back and think, okay, now this says something about the other person that would attack me personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do I respond in a way that will actually help them mm-hmm. in their walk with Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So taking the focus off of myself and using that emotive response as a reflective moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Opportunity, yes.
Yeah, so I think that in a situation where, you get angry, there could be an element of, hey, I'm not realizing why I'm angry. So, for example, I remember it as a child, so confession time. I would so much want to hang out with my brother.
Yes.
He's 6 years older, and I remember his friend was there, and he wanted to be with his friend, But I wanted, be part of that. I longed for a connection with my brother in that moment. I really wanted to be with him, and he was just, he held the door, shut the door. I was not allowed in. And I would get angry and sad, and I would, there were reasons why he didn't want me there. There were reasons.
There were good reasons.
But for me, I didn't realize that the thing that I actually, I'm angry, but I actually just want to have love, So I didn't know how to deal with that, and so I would get angry. I think we have to understand that sometimes we are angry out of reasons that are, if we would confess what's really going on, we would have to make ourselves very vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm just like an angry person. I want love, but I don't get it. So this is my reaction.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I don't think anger is always a cover emotion, but I do think it's more often than we think it is. Because it feels more powerful to feel angry than hurt or scared or uncomfortable.
It's an emotion. Yeah. It's so complex. It's coming in and out. It's covering. It's going in and out. And it's just, it's unexpected. It's an emotion. How can logic contend with emotion? Because emotion is what it is. Anyway, let's go to the next part there. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Can you explain a little bit more? Is that a time element? Is that a metaphysical thing with the solar system or the sun going down? What is the Bible talking about?
The thing that jumps out to me. Yeah, I am. Man, stop. Okay, so I think.
You're getting angry at
my life.
Don't kill him. Don't kill him.
That is my go-to. That is my go-to, Jonathan. I think it shows that if you are angry, to not hold a grudge. There's a difference between experiencing anger and, as Siku said, like reflecting on it, holding on to it, and saying like, well, I'm going to be mad at you. And it's happened to me too, you know, as I've gone past my violent tendencies and I've gotten older and mature. Sometimes like, well, I'm just not going to talk to this person. And I'll just wait till they talk to me. Mm-hmm. But it's like that's still holding a grudge. If there is an issue, talk to them about it and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And even if for some reason they are immovable and they won't have a conversation, I can still choose to forgive them and let go of my anger and let Jesus take it from me. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it is just like experience anger, but don't like stay with it. Don't let the sun go down on that experience.
There seems to be also a neurological component. I always come back to the neurology of things, is that once you hold this grudge and you kind of put it, you hold on to that and you go to sleep and your brain has, it's almost as if this, you've absorbed it during your sleep and it's become a part of you. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up and you're still, it's now
tense.
Unresolved and it's part of your being. Mm. Whereas if it's resolved before you go to bed, and it's just really, something you've experienced and you just kind of let go for the day. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a slow change that can have. Bitterness can be very dangerous.
Absolutely.
To human character.
Can I just bring a practical element? I think there are people process differently, and on this not letting the sun go down on your anger, I think just being a little bit careful about making a very, very, very practical, literal application of it, because there's some people who it takes time for them to process, even to think through what they're feeling, like to think through what their reaction is, and before they can even address it with a person who has angered them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay to allow that time. And sometimes it's necessary to sleep on it and process. But I think the core thing is not to hold on to anger. Yeah. Not holding on to it and becomes your best friend. my precious. Yeah.
because the reality, if you hold on to it, you're really just saying, I'm not going to change anything about my opinions or what I am. I'm keeping my standards, so to say, to myself. But if my standards don't align with God's standards, then this is not a good thing. It's a prideful thing. So don't let the sun go down on it. Think about it. Reflect upon it. Process it. Maybe what your reaction was totally off. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be an opportunity for you to go and make things right.
With
the person.
Deal with it. Yeah.
We spent time looking at this verse in Ephesians about anger and about the sun and the metaphysical components of anger and all these things. But now we're going to apply them to the family and what happens in the internal, smaller dynamics. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. We are talking about anger management issues and what the Bible has to say. We've really looked at anger from every perspective. But I want to ask you an open question. Isn't it easier to get into anger situations with family?
Absolutely.
Why? Why is that?
Because they know how to push it.
Oh man, we're getting a lot of reactions right now. So with a stranger, they don't know how to push the buttons, but like Ben has grown up with you and knows exactly.
He knows how to anger me with such a facial expression.
Oh, and that facial expression.
He just looks at me wrong and I'm like,
ah, man. I don't have siblings, so I don't know. This is a foreign concept to me.
Well,
explain this to me,
I don't know if I can explain it to you, but they know how to push the buttons, but at the same time, in society, if ever in public, you don't want people to think bad about you, so you're scared of what perception people will have.
Yes.
Family always kind of stays family, like they cannot suddenly choose not to be your brother or sister anymore.
Yes.
I guess some people do that, but technically you can. So they have to live with it, and so there's less guarding, restrained, less social pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you're just, okay, you know, I'm just going to let loose.
It's like you already know anyways. You've known since you were born. Yeah. We've both known, so.
And not just siblings. I mean, it could be parents. Mm. It could be grandparents.
Cousins.
In-laws, depending on how
I think in the same way that I've, you know, about marriage, of it can be the greatest blessing because it's so close, but it can also be the greatest curse because it's so close.
Yeah.
And that can be just even non-romantic parts of family, like with my parents or siblings. Mm-hmm. It can be the most beautiful relationship because, like, you really know me and you really stick by me, but can also be awful because, you know, insults coming from my brother, Ben, that cuts deeper than anything anybody else could say.
Yes.
He said, like, oh, you're a bad sister, or, like, you're whatever. Like, that hurts because, like, you know me, so I can actually listen to you because you have the authority to say that over my life.
Mm-hmm. As they say, it's heaven on earth or H-E double hockey stick on earth. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some Bible verses? Give us some. I mean, there's people out there, or maybe we are around this table and we're pretending to be perfect and have no problems. But give us some Bible verses. Give them some, what's Bible knowledge? What can we say to people who have issues with mom, dad, brother and sister, son, daughter? I'm going to keep on going until you guys say something. Mother-in-law.
Ecclesiastes
7. Ecclesiastes is where we're going to go.
Justin will run out of air.
Ecclesiastes. I was going to go to the in-laws and
start listing.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes
7, verse 9.
7, verse 9. Okay.
9.
I'm ready.
Yep. Siku?
It says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. And I appreciate the... It's saying take time to think about the way that you are reacting, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Kelly was saying about, you know, with family and people who are close to you, people that you've allowed into your life, it's easy to just, you know, gut reaction or whatever is the visceral reaction. But what this is calling for is for a time of reflection.
Mm.
And it reminds me of in 1 Corinthians 13 when it talks about what love looks like. Mm-hmm. This is kind of, you know, you think love and anger, the more you love, the more... The more you can be angry at the hurt, right? Mm-hmm. But even when it talks about love, like love is actually something that you are intentional about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's an intentionality in our relationships to how I react to the way that I'm being treated or how that I treat other people.
Mm-hmm. 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 Kelly.
Another aspect is in James 1. Verses 19 and 20.
Yes.
I love James and his practicality.
Mm-hmm.
It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Mm.
And, I mean, just be very quick to listen and not quick to speak and not quick to be angry. And then in verse 20, like, I should have kind of like, duh. But like, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Sometimes we can trick ourselves into thinking we have righteous indignation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, they were being bad, therefore this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, this is the wrath of man.
But you know, I find it's kind of interesting because you mentioned earlier Jesus, mm-hmm. who did not get angry when they were like making fun of his family and his background and misstating what really happened.
Right.
But then when the temple cleansing, he did get angry.
Mm-hmm.
He had every right to get angry the first time.
He did.
But he chose not to. For him, it was not so important. He himself, it was the Father. Mm-hmm. Everything was about the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is kind of interesting that he chose, you know, very intentional. This is where I'm going to react. I don't know if we as broken human beings are able to do that kind of thing, but I just found it very...
Yeah, I think that brings a good point, too, about we can choose those times, even when we have the right. You know, Paul says we lay down our rights for the gospel. And thinking about, will me reacting this way further God's cause or not?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are cases, too, even if it's not about the temple, of defending other people or defending truths.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes something I try to implement with my students is if they do upset me and they do deserve punishment, I'll just say, we'll talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I have a very colorful description of what I want to happen to them. Just like, we'll talk about this later because I want to reflect and think about it and make sure it's not reactionary, even if I'm right.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I'm doing what's best for them and not just something that I'm reacting against.
I want to establish, I mean, these are good verses, but it could be that we study the same Bible, read the same verses, and some people will read James chapter 1, verse 19, and says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and then say, okay, well, I'll do that. And they do it, and nothing happens. Or they do it, and still they have anger issues. And so, just from a different perspective, that these Bible verses are not It's not advice for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is, we are not to follow me. We're not to follow these words just because they say them. And what I'm saying is we can almost have a legalistic perspective on some of these Bible verses. Like, oh, the Bible said it. Well, I just gotta try harder. Mm-hmm. Rather, it's the impossibility right. of the
I can't
fact.
Do that. That's
I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And we come to the Lord on our knees and saying, mm-hmm. look, I can't do this. Yeah. I've tried. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But this is not advice for me to do. This is what you promised that you can do in me.
Right.
So I'm looking forward for you to do this mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and leaning on that. And it, what I found on my from my experience is not trying harder, but to focus on my relationship with Jesus more. And I know that sounds cliche,
mm-hmm.
but what you said about they called him illegitimate child, but he was like, you know, he was just
yeah,
cool about
it.
Like to dwell on that story, mm-hmm. to think yeah. and to memorize those verses, and then to replay that narrative mm-hmm. while I'm going. When other people are calling me for chinky wonky wonky wonky, whatever it is, you know, I'm reflecting on that. And the cool thing is this, is like, the cool thing is the more I hang out with Callie, mm-hmm. I become like Callie.
Mm-hmm. Jesus knows.
The more I, Jesus knows.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, amen. The more I hang out with Siku, I become like yeah. Siku. The more I hang out with Jonathan, I'm becoming like Jonathan. Mm-hmm.
The more we hang out with
Jesus is also a person.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I hang out with Jesus, mm-hmm. I become like... I think that's the transformative secret. Yeah. Even though we're reading the same Bible, we're going yeah. to the same church, we have the same, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, that shift mm-hmm. just makes all the difference.
Yeah. I think this is a beautiful point because even if we're trying in our day-to-day lives to shield ourselves from bad influences, we still, as we are sinners, we interact with sinners. And so we have to counteract that by saturating our minds, or as I've heard you say, burn our eyes on Jesus. And so we might say like, oh, I talked to Jesus, I got that thought, all right, cool, moving on. But we are inundated by sin all day long
right.
that we have to make even more effort to saturate.
That's right.
I'm thinking too, like practically, you know, in situations where, you know, my kids are, I've said this so many times.
I want your lesson.
Yeah, and it's like, I know you're just a child, but I know you're doing this intentionally. And sometimes it's really just to push a button because they do it and then they look at you. Like,
yes.
What's your reaction going to be?
Do it now.
Yes. Yeah.
Do the thing.
And
anyone
know,
with little children knows exactly what Siku is.
Right. Or high school students.
You know, and in that moment, like sometimes, especially if you've had a long week or a long, and you're just, your brain is fried.
Yes.
You know, you're just exhausted.
Yes.
Self-control gets hard,
yes.
you know. And in those moments, like coming to God, like in a very real way, no, my kid just is driving me nuts. Like, Lord, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And there've been times where with my son, like he just made me upset. I'll be like, okay, stand here. And I pray for myself. And he's standing there looking at me like,
mommy.
Yeah, mama.
Mommy needs a nap.
You know, I think it kind of breaks down to what you were saying earlier. It's humility. It's recognizing and the more I look at Jesus, I recognize, the more I'm how broken I am.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm aware of that, mm-hmm. then I will think in the moments where I get angry or upset about something, and it might not be holy wrath, you know, it might not be a righteous anger. I'll realize, okay, you know, even though I really want to, like, I just burst out right now, I know that is a sinful reaction in this case. And so that's when I go on my knees and Jesus, take the wheel, you know, take over.
Amen.
Take over that
Jonathan
situation.
Singing some country songs. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. It's a good message. We support you.
But it is that act of surrender and an act of humility in the light of the fact that I am a broken individual and I need my Savior.
Mm-hmm. And I know I said this, I just want to harp on this again of it's not just in the morning or in the evening, but like in the very experience, Jesus, right now, I'm being pushed beyond capacity. Please help me right
yes.
now. And I think I used to just think like, well, if I didn't get my battery charged in the morning, we have to wait till tomorrow.
Right.
But
right.
we can always call upon the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't feel your promise. Please come through for me right now.
Yeah. Plus, I'm thinking about, you know, in terms of meditating on Christ, the way that God reacts when mm-hmm. he could get angry and just, you know.
Yeah.
But the way that God reacts in the face of, I guess, the worst thing would be sin. Right? How did when sin is introduced into the universe, is introduced into the world, how he reacts is not like, Rawr, fire and brimstone. I mean, we're still here,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
we're sinners.
Even though we deserve a lot
right.
worse.
And
we often place human image upon God.
We do.
So that God does get angry. It's mentioned in Scripture. But we think, what is the worst human anger I've seen?
It must be that.
And that must be what God mm-hmm. looks like. And that's clearly not mm-hmm. the case. Mm-hmm. We also want to establish that there are situations where there are just emergency abuse, crazy situations. Mm-hmm. And what we've talked about is not to enable further abuse and conflict. Sometimes there are moments you just gotta pull out, get out, and run away.
Absolutely.
So these aren't universal, you know, glib answers.
Mm-hmm.
But for the general population that is just, you know, getting annoyed with your husband or your children, like Siku does, or me, or any one of us, we need the Lord Jesus to help us
That's
every
right.
day.
Mm-hmm.
This has yeah. been a very, very personal
discussion.
Sermon for me. Yeah. I pricked. I mean, I have anger issues, but we need the Lord Jesus. And so hopefully you've been blessed by this conversation. If you have been reading the same Bible promises as we have, it's not about just following what the Bible has to say. The Bible is giving us the end picture of what we can become by His grace.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
thing that we need to do is get on our knees and plead with the Lord Jesus for the Holy Spirit. And in His goodness, won't He give us the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Take time now to pray after this episode and ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, I give my family to You. I give mm-hmm. my anger to You. I give my character to You. Save me and my family. That's my prayer. It's a prayer for my friends here. Hopefully it's yours. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week, next episode, here on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.